Hello, everybody, and welcome to What Would Save the World. My guest is late. You're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Tuke Edelo, and I'm here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m., so let's play my intro. Here we go. Oh, no, everything's all fucking... Here we go. All right, well, something's not working with my fucking speakers right now, and everything's a disaster, and my person is late, and... Okay, so today we're going to be talking on What Would Save the World about Dear White People. And Dear White People is a TV show that's been on Netflix for a couple weeks now. All right, so why isn't this work? I don't understand what's going on right now. Things are just not working. It's very strange. Maybe I have to... What's happening right now? Well, anyway, so let's just start talking about Dear White People. So Dear White People is like this show about this girl, Sam, who has a radio show at her college that is called Dear White People. And what she's doing is she's trying to get white people to understand their privilege, and they don't really want to understand their privilege, it seems. So it's a huge problem. And basically, the kids in the school throw like a Dear White People party or a Dear Black People party where they do they don blackface, and it's really offensive and shit. And, it becomes this whole ordeal, and it's a big problem in the show. And I am so fucking pissed off right now, everybody. My shit is not letting me play my fucking intro that I've worked so fucking hard on, and my guest is fuck... You know what would save the world? You know what would fucking save the world? If my fucking electronics worked right now. If my fucking shit decided to cooperate for 5 fucking seconds. Maybe it will now. Can you guys hear this? Let's see if this is fucking working. Why? Okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna restart the motherfucking computer, because this is a fucking disaster. And I'm a really angry radio host right now. So let's just start playing this stuff by this comedian, Darren Williams. Darren Williams is a great comedian that I know, and he's gonna talk a little bit about Dear Black People. I mean, dear White People. Here we go. Let's see if you can hear this.
The problem with Dear White People is the same problem I have with most movements based out of like undergraduate social justice spaces, in that it's over-emotional and it's far too interested in explaining plight to oppressors. And that's just not how it works. Like, I'm just tired of young Black kids opening up their hearts to white people, thinking that the 240-year history of this country indicates that there's going to be some magical moment where white people go, oh my God, I had no clue. Let's just stop. It's not going to happen. And so, like, for Black entertainment, like, Dear White People isn't made for me. Like, it's made for somebody that thinks that this thing's going to get better. Like this optimistic worldview that one day all the races are going to figure it out and hash it out, and it's not going to happen. So, like, I'm tired of...
Yeah, so the thing that's interesting to me about that is it's like, yeah, I can understand, as a white person, I hear that, and I hear, like, that fucking, like, yeah, like, you think for the past hundreds and blah, blah, blah fucking years, like, we're going to get a magical moment with white people. It's just like, I just keep fucking getting angry at other white people. It's like, hey, fucking white people, like, could you decide for 5 seconds to have that fucking magical moment? Like, why, it's up to you, white people, to, like, fucking get over your shit and like, you know, and, like, why do you have to be, like, rewarded for not being a fucking racist? Like, why do you have to be rewarded for fucking, like, deciding to check your white privilege? Like, it's not like an award you get, you know what I'm saying? It's one of these things where it's like, get over your fucking self a little bit here, you know? It's like, I don't know. I just feel like too many people... Oh, yay! The sound's working. Yeah. Thank fucking Moses. This music... Let's play. Let's go to my intro. Here we go.
what would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism. Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
War regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war.
Libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
All right, so that's the fucking intro. Oh, man. So like I was saying before, when we played Darren Williams' thing before, he's talking about, like, how all these college kids keep wanting to, like, beg for white people to fucking listen to them and blah, 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 and how it's, like, always about white people. And that's, like, that is something, like, I witness a lot. Like, a lot of white people wanting to pat themselves on their on the back for, like, being aware, and it's pretty obnoxious. And let's talk about that for a minute. We can talk while we're waiting for Gregory W. Hall, who's my very late guest. Oh, here's Gregory W. Hall. After I had like an anxiety attack on the air because I didn't, my fucking things weren't working. And you know what this show is called right now? This is called Nothing Would Save the World. So nothing. And that, okay, when you really get down to it, everybody, I've been doing this show for about a year now. Yeah, exactly a year now. And to be honest with you, I've just gotten more depressed. I've just realized that people can't really do shit. Hey, let's see if this is working. Say hi, Gregory.
Yo, what's good?
Yeah, okay, Gregory, let me turn, you hear the headphones?
Oh, yeah, I hear.
Can you hear my fucking opera that I'm playing in the background?
Love opera.
This is, oh, me too. This is called the Depression of the Ashkenazi Jew. And at this point, I've realized that I'm not even, like, a real Jew. That's what people have been telling me. I talked to this the girl on the internet who was like, blah, 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 blah. Like, the Ashkenazi Russian Jews came from the Khazar, from, like, these mountains out in Russia. And they're not real Jews. And then the Rothschilds and all this fucking crazy shit. So anyway, we're here to talk about dear fucking white people.
Oh, yeah.
Dear white people. And Gregory W. Hall is a comedian I've met a couple times. We've actually been more internet friends than anything else, but we're here now and we're gonna be real life friends now.
Sure.
So now that I've had my fucking nervous breakdown on the radio, if you liked my nervous breakdown, can y'all contact me somehow so I know that you actually care about me and that you don't hate me for my fucking freak out? And we're also gonna be introducing a very special sketch at 3:30. It's called Marxist Astrologist. And, you know, that's just going to be some nerdy fucking hippie humor. I don't like this opera here. I don't like this opera. I want... No more ads. All right. This, if you couldn't tell, What Would Save the World is a very chaotic show run by a super pothead. Why is this still... Okay. So, Gregory, I want to play you this fucking thing that I already played, but it's an audio recording from Darren Williams, and I tried to analyze it myself, but I was like... So let's play. You know Darren Williams, right?
Oh, yeah, the comedian. I know Darren very well.
Yeah,
shout
we
out
Darren,
Darren
very
Williams.
Well. Cool. So we're going to play this thing that he says about. He has a couple little recordings about dear white people because he couldn't call in, but we're going to play a couple of them. We already played one, but we're going to play it again just for a reminder.
The problem with dear white people is the same problem I have with most movements based out of like undergraduate social justice spaces. In that it's over-emotional and it's far too interested in explaining plight to oppressors. And that's just not how it works. Like, I'm just tired of young black kids opening up their hearts to white people, thinking that the 240-year history of this country indicates that there's going to be some magical moment where white people go, oh my God, I had no clue. Let's just stop. It's not going to happen. And so, like, for black entertainment, like, Dear White People isn't made for me. Like, it's made for somebody that thinks that this thing's going to get better. Like this optimistic worldview that one day all the races are going to figure it out and hash it out. And it's not going to happen. So, like, I'm tired of...
So, like, I don't know. So, I want to hear your thoughts on this. I want to hear your thoughts while I put on some opera in the background. What are your thoughts, Gregory?
My thoughts is I completely 100% agree with Darren on that one, because here's the thing. It goes like for example, Dear White People, the lead character, Sam, her boyfriend. I think his name is Gabe.
Gabe. Yeah.
Gabe. Now, on the outside, Gabe looks like he's like this supposedly woke, as I'm using in quotations.
Yeah, supposedly woke. Oh, but he's like the least woke, though.
He's the least like, woke. But see, that's the point I'm getting at, is that you have like these, like you think he's woke and that he understands, but the key thing is he will never understand.
I mean, he's never going to understand. And that's the whole thing, though. Like, I just feel like, I mean, what I said before is I was like, I get white people need to just like understand that it's up to them if they want that magical moment to happen, because they need to get the fuck over themselves and check their privilege, and they don't need to be rewarded for it. That's what I said in my fucking chaotic whatever. But I feel like Gabe, like, also Gabe didn't really, like, yeah, you have to acknowledge that you don't get it, and you have to acknowledge, like, right, you have to be okay with being uncomfortable and the fact that you're not going to get a fucking cookie for it.
Yeah, and I think this, here's the thing, too. It's like, and I agree with Darren, it's like the whole show is saying that it's going to be okay one day. No, it's not.
Did they say that, though?
No, but that's what it's coming across as. Like, it's eventually, like, white folks will get it and it will click, and they won't get it. It will never click because there's certain things, especially within the black culture, that white people just won't get. You know what I mean? I mean, for example, you look in the show, like, for example, okay, Sam was my least favorite character. I hated her fucking guts.
Okay.
I despised her with a passion. Because, one, there was one scene that really pissed me off about her is when they asked her, and I'm paraphrasing here, when they asked her, you know, how can you be like this, you know, black militant or black revolutionary or whatever, and you're dating a white boy? And her response was, well, I'm part white.
Yeah, that was a shitty reason. It's how, like, about, what? Like, we fucking like each other.
How
end.
About you like him?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's like, then you're ignoring, she's ignoring her light skin privilege, let's be honest, because there is something called light skin privileges.
She's got blue eyes, too.
Yeah. Like, even me, I'm black. I'm mixed, but I consider myself black. But even I know, being a light skinned black dude, that I'm much more palatable than someone who's darker. And she doesn't understand that. She doesn't get that. And the funny thing is, the character Coco checks her on that.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, you have a light skin privilege.
And she's also like the less radical one.
Yes.
And that's what's really interesting about it.
She's the less radical one, but I think, in my personal humble opinion, she's the smartest one.
She may be the smartest one, but I will tell you this, though. I'm super, like, anti the system. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right,
she's,
right,
like, playing the system, and I get why she's playing the system. I actually empathize with her playing the system more than I would some, like, white dude who goes to law school. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, because that's why I empathize with her even more, because if you look at, because I think the college, I mean, it's a fictional college, but I think it's called Westchester or something.
Or some Westminster. You know, what I think is the funniest part about it? I'm pretty sure it's the same name as the bar from Shaun of the Dead.
That's what I was thinking,
right? We have to get to the Winchester. Let's look that up. But
it's an Ivy League school. So majority of the black kids in that school probably come from well-off families. Have money.
But Coco didn't.
She was raised on Southside Chicago, from the hood. The only one that was really from the hood, and she comes in there like, listen, I know the system's fucked up, but I'm gonna work the system for me. I'm gonna wear these fucking tracks in my hair. I'm gonna make sure.
It's called Winchester College.
It is called Winchester.
Right? Winchester University. That's so funny.
Like, she's like, I'm gonna wear these tracks in my hair. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna have my fucking old white man sponsor me. You know what I'm saying? And then, what was the guy's name? The fucking Ivy League black, the kid that was a legacy.
Troy or something?
Troy. She goes to Troy and is like, and I will forget you. I won't even remember you when I become the second black woman president. I started clapping when she said that.
Yeah, good for her.
I was like, this chick is the smartest one in here.
Yeah, she's smart, but here's the thing, though, like, do you think that this system could be changed to be actually more equal? You think this system could be?
Hell no.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she wants to play this system. And that's like, do you know what I mean? This system has an expiration date. And that's where we get to, like, when we want to talk about the environment and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these people who run these big corporations, the people who are often getting supported by the state, are not going to take care of this planet long enough for us to for it to last that long. So I guess what I keep thinking about is just like, yeah, all right, that's cool. But like, what is there a real alternative? Do you know what I'm saying?
And who's
the people to start that?
I think first, this is my thought on that, as far as the system. First of all, the system, a lot of people say the system is broken.
It was never working.
I say the system is flawless. I think it's working. It's flawless. It's working to keep people down. Now, to change you know what I'm saying? You gave me that look at first.
Like, what?
You gave me that look at first. You were like, wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
I was like, why are you here?
No, the way the system is designed is working flawless. The key thing is the system is outdated.
Super outdated.
Outdated and...
It's still working to people down. It's still working to colonize.
The system needs to be, I hate to say it, it needs to be total anarchy. Like, you got to just get rid of the fucking system. It has to be, you know, kind of like what, you know, like a revolution. I hate to say it.
We need to rebuild in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
and I
you
think
have
that
to
we
rebuild and destroy. Destroy and rebuild.
And that's
essentially.
And that is what I'm always talking about. Like, by the way, you're listening to Puppet Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. The thing that that is always getting me the most down is realizing, like, I think a lot about how, we have to start, you know, building alternative food sources and building alternative, like, teams. You know, people have problems with the police. We need to build alternative teams to the police. We have to build alternative this, alternative that. And people are just, like, really, like, sort of down, but not really. People are, like, very comfortable.
Well, yeah, because I think people can't
live
simple.
This is so funny with opera in the background.
They can't. Yeah, I feel like an evil genius right now.
Yeah, it's good. That's what I want.
Because I don't think people could live simple. That's why we got too accustomed to... the way we live with technology. I mean, people have a damn seizure if they don't have their phone in their hand. You know what I'm saying? So the key thing is, can you live simple?
I mean, I think we can live simple, and I just think that we have to, like, I mean, it's also, like, ridiculous that I can get an avocado whenever I want. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if this was, like, real life, like, you know what I mean? We'd have to grow. We'd have to eat what was available during certain seasons.
Right.
And you could survive. And I don't think that's necessarily what we need to do. But I'm thinking about it. There's all this crazy demand for different foods and shit.
Right. Like, you know, do you eat meat or anything?
Yeah,
I eat meat. So will you be willing to go out and take down a cow?
Well, here's the thing. That's an ethical thing that I get confused about if we're going to talk about, factory farming. I don't like factory farms. But at this point, we've domesticated a lot of the... Well, cows could probably survive on the wild. But, a chicken?
Nah.
A goat? Maybe. Maybe a goat could survive in the wild. But they would get eaten by, a fucking wolf real fast. Have we, de-evolved them? I don't know what the right word is. Do you know what I'm saying? At this point, if we let them be wild... would they just die out?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? So what is the ethical thing to do here? Do we raise them in captivity and try and, eat their milk and their eggs and not kill them for their meat? Or, because I do think that hunting is the most ethical way to get meat, because you're not taking them out of their habitat.
Right. But see, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I could take them. I could hunt some animals.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that wouldn't be your role in society, but I guess the problem is when we assign roles in society based on gender and race and sexuality and all this shit. That's where we get into some of our big problems.
Yeah,
it's the assignment. So I'm gonna say when I first saw Dear White People, I was like, oh great, white people will finally start to understand their privilege. But then I remembered this new generation of conservative white people feel oppressed for being white.
Because,
it's fucking bizarre.
You know
it's
what it
so
is?
So weird.
Because you know what it is? It's they got to a point. Cause this is how I look at it. Check this out. A lot of the new generation of the conservative white kids, their parents told them when they were little, this is how it was going to be. And then they got older. Then it changed. They're like, wait a minute. This wasn't like what you was told, it was supposed to be. Hold on. You know what I mean? Now you pissed off for being white. You know what I mean? You pissed off because you feel like you ain't getting the benefits of being white. And it's motherfucker, you white. You good.
Yeah, I mean, it's so they're these people who are oh, you want to destroy our history. The thing with the fucking Confederate shit in Charlottesville.
Oh,
it's
God.
So fucking nuts. There was this great article looking for it that was about your guide to the new fucking to the alt-right white supremacist groups. Did you see this article? It was on Facebook. Let me pull this up so we can talk
is
about
it. Like,
it.
Are they like the white folks that complain, like, oh, why is it Black History Month? What, when there
yeah,
any
why
white,
is it Black History
no
Month?
White History Month. It's like, because every month is White History Month. What the fuck are you talking about?
Exactly. Every month's White History. It's also one of these things where it's like, motherfucker, no one said you couldn't be like proud of being Irish.
Right.
No one ever said that. No one ever said you can't be proud of being Italian. No one ever said you couldn't be proud of being this. But white's not like a fucking culture.
Exactly.
Like, white's not a fucking culture. And it's also just like, I don't know. It's like, exactly, every fucking month is white pride.
Yeah, shit, every day is white pride. Shit, you white people should wake up and smile. Like, oh, I'm white. I'm
oh
white.
God,
oh, yeah, just I'm serious, white people. Listen, if you're listening, just if you're feeling down and out and you're depressed, just look in the mirror and just look at yourself and say, I'm white. And you will feel a hell of a lot better. You would you go, oh, I'm not a nigga. Okay, cool. Everything's going to be all right. And you know what? It will be. Okay.
But if I was, I could get affirmative action. No, it's like, okay, but by the way, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here with Gregory W. Hall. And if you like freeform radio, blah, 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 community, da, 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 go to patreon.com/radiofreebrooklyn and donate to us. So here's this great article on Wired. Your handy field guide to the many factions of the far right, from the Proud Boys to Identity, Europa, but spelled with a V. These fucking people. So they got, like, the Genis Identitarianism, and they're, like, the few... In any crowd of far-right agitators is, like, the National Socialists, which are Nazis, by the way. So that's so funny. That's also really funny. Like, a lot of these guys who are on the really far-right will, like, talk about how they don't like socialists and they don't like... Basically, they think we're all Marxists. That's also something they say. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
They're like, fucking the left and their Marxism. It's like, I don't know about you, but I meet Democrats all the time that, like, want capitalism. It's really hard to talk to them. But it's like, that's so funny. The Nazis are actually National Socialists. But the Identitarian are, like, this ideology from France that believes that there needs to be an end to multiculturalism. And that's, like, a huge part of, like, this weird young far-right thing, where they just think, oh, well, we've tried multiculturalism and that we need to have people of the same ethnic backgrounds living together. It's so weird. And then and we have the Traditional Workers Party, which is, like, Christian. Then we have the Richard Spencer, the Nazi, got punched in the face. I'm wearing a button right now that says, when you punch a Nazi, the whole world punches with you. That's a great fuck. So let's talk a little bit more about dear white people.
Dear white
so,
folks.
But in a few minutes, I'm gonna play the intro to the new Marxist astrologist that I got going on here. But let's play another Darren Williams thing, just to inspire us with the anger and sarcasm of Darren Williams and the intellect, and here we go.
Oh, Darren.
Oh, Darren.
It's written by a guy, you know, who went to an Ivy League private school and had some, you know, bad encounters with white kids in his school. And, like, I understand that is an actual experience. I have a similar experience. But it's certainly not the story that relates most to your average black person facing systemic racism. And so when you watch a movie about a bunch of spoiled, privileged kids, black or white, trying to talk about how much problems they have on campus, it just comes out inauthentic. People who don't go to private schools don't see racism the way Dear White People writes it. So, you know, I think just generally black entertainment should be about love of black people more than it should be about love of helping white people get woke. Like, I'm tired of the woke white people shit. Just enough.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about, like, why do white people have to feel rewarded for waking up a little bit? Like, it's not, that's what really bothers me. Like, obviously, I'm white. Right. Hi, I'm white.
I must say that you are extremely light-skinned.
I'm extremely, I am very, very, very light. I am, like, I don't even know how I got this light. Because they did some weird DNA testing in my family. My mother's side, like, they're kind of like darker Jews. They're like Romanian Jews. So it's like really fucking weird. My father's like Southern Baptist, like terrible fucking grandfather was in the FBI, probably helped take down the Black Panthers. Makes me want to fucking kill somebody. Do you know what I mean? No, like really. Like I've been looking him up and being like, I hate you.
Holy
like,
shit.
Like I hate you so much. Like I didn't know you were that bad.
Damn.
But like I hate him, honestly. But but yeah, so I'm going to hear what you thought of that. What do you think? Like, why do you think that like there's this whole, like, It just keeps feeling like white people want to make Black Lives Matter about them rather than being like...
Exactly. It's everything that's going on, even this whole so-called being woke movement, it's not about, you know, society and trying to make society better. No, it's about you. It's trying to make you look good and making yourself feel good about yourself and all these things. And it's not authentic, not authentic at all. And that really bothers me. And even, you know, still, and going back to what Darren said, if you're in a situation where you are privileged, okay, going back to that word, you're not going to experience this, you know, same type of racism as most people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I, and this whole like trying to, you know, to piggyback what he said, trying to make white people see is exhausting and stupid, in my opinion. And it's kind of like, instead of us trying to make white people see the problem, how about we make us see the problem? Because as Black people, we have a lot of issues within our own community, first and foremost. And in the quote, Malcolm X, you know, we have to for every, to fix the problem between Black, white, or whatever, we got to fix the problem within our own communities first. Because there's a lot of issues in our own community. So instead of trying to make white folks woke, we need to make Black people woke as Black people. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of, I see a lot of buffoonery and coonery going around.
Like, what are you, could you give me some examples if you want to?
One of the things I would say that I see a lot is, and I hate, oh God, I hate these dudes. And Darren, if you're listening, you probably will agree with me. I can't stand these Hotep niggas. Oh.
What's that mean? Hotep?
They're like the, Hotep is like the whole Black conscious movement. You know what I mean? You know, Black people wearing dashikis and screaming Hotep and studying Kemetic science, which Kemetic is Egyptian, you know, Kemet, because that's what Egypt was really called, Kemet. Egypt is Greek, it's not African. But the original name was Kemet, and they talk about Kemetic science, and they screaming Hotep, and they fucking vegan, and don't eat meat, and running around saying Peace Queen, and all this shit. And some of the biggest, phoniest motherfuckers that you've ever seen. For example, I don't want to put him on blast, but there's a dude named Dr. Umar, who's one of the biggest figures in the Black conscious movement. And some of the things Dr. Umar says, I agree with, but he runs around with this whole, like, I'm going to be celibate for a year or whatever, but then comes to find out he's, like, sliding the DMs of these chicks for about a year. But you're supposed to be celibate. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you got a lot of these fake-ass Hotep dashiki-wearing dudes running around like...
But it's not just, like, embracing, like, stolen culture or, like... Because, you know what, like, what I'm thinking is, like, about how, like, a lot of people were fucking stolen from Africa, right?
Right.
It's not... Is it not just that? It's not just wanting to get back in touch with what...
Well, it's wanting to get back in touch with... You know, back, you know, in Africa. But you got to understand, so first and foremost, we're not like this fucking lost tribe of Africa. Let's get, first of all, a lot of you Hope 10 niggas out there that screaming that we should go back to Africa, kiss my ass. What the fuck is my light skin ass, high yellow ass going to do in Africa? What tribe will I belong to? You know what I'm saying? Africans don't even like us. They hate our fucking guts. You know what I'm saying? They spent 400 years separating us. It's going to take another 400 years to bring us back together. So cut all that going back to Africa and get in touch with your roots or your ancestors bullshit, because a lot of the times, a lot of Black folks don't know is some of their ancestors didn't even come on the transatlantic slave trade. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but yeah, you need to, like, seriously, I'm sorry. You know, all these fake-ass Hotep niggas I can't stand. Actually, a buddy of mine, I ain't gonna say his name, he tried to get at me because, you know, he wears dashikis and all this shit. And I don't wear dashikis because they're fucking ugly.
I mean, I guess the only way I can relate to that in any way, shape, or form is knowing that, like, I believe, from what I've read, is Judaism used to be a far more feminine, matriarchal thing, like, way back, or there's traces of it.
Well, most religions.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, I don't know. Like, from my understanding, is a lot of people were taking over here, and then I know I hear what you're saying. Like, not like, I know, but people are not like this like lost tribe or whatever. I get that, but there's like, you know, like people. There was like Christianity forced on from the slave masters and shit, right? Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I guess, I mean, like, as an outsider, I can look in and be like, well, I understand why somebody would like want to get more in touch. Do you know what I'm saying?
There's nothing wrong with being in touch, but just be authentic about it.
Yeah, oh, it feels fake. Like,
yeah.
So like these fucking like, new agey dudes who are like embracing Buddhism because, or like think that they're like 1% Native American and they fucking are like, I'm a native and I understand the oppressed. Like, shut up.
Yeah, like be authentic about it. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I have a cousin. He's all that bullshit and he tried to get at me saying that I wasn't Afrocentric. And I, cause you know, if you look at me now, I mean, nobody can see me, but you see me. I got a lot of gold rings on and, you know, chains and shit like that. And I told him, I said, first and foremost, stupid, if you knew your history,
stupid,
you would know that African kings and queens dressed like this. They wore a lot of gold. They wore a lot of silk. Okay. So if anything, I'm more Afrocentric than your dumbass.
Cool. All right. Well, let's go back. Let's talk a little bit more about Dear White People in a minute. But I promised at 3:30 I was going to play a clip of a Marxist astrologist. So this is something that me and my hippy dippy fucking anarcho whatever fucking da 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 friends came up with. And this is called Marxist Astrology. And it's got me and Sage Sagittarius, who's actually an Aries, and Milo the Marxologist. And then me, I'm Cancer the Crabber. So,
Cancer the Crabber.
So here we go with this.
Today on Marxist Astrology.
Oh, it's not. Oh, we gotta start this over. Shit got fucked up. Here we go.
Today on Marxist Astrology.
We're gonna talk about how Capricorns are more likely to be conservative, and that's like part of the reason why we see this huge rise of the alt-right, because Venus is in Capricorn right now, and it has been for like the past like 3 months. What do you have to, not 3 months, like 3 months, but in more in a different kind of calendar.
Well,
but
she's like, the thing is like, it's been there for 3 months. I don't think it's leaving Capricorn. Like, this is
the are we stuck at Capricorn?
We're stuck. Like, the alt-right seize their chances, and the planet doesn't go anywhere anymore.
Yeah, they've seized, like, they've seized karmic control of Venus's energy. And, like, that's the way that people don't really understand. Like, people who don't analyze, like, astro-emotional governmental astrology, is they don't realize that, that Venus is actually, like, so, is, like, equidistant to the White House on an astral plane map. They don't
it's
realize
it's equidistance to the White House, and
it allows it to have power there and it allows it to manifest. So whoever like gets there. So basically what happened is that one of Donald Trump's minions, they laid a crystal in the White House that reflects the energy of Venus that was like instilled with actually the energy of Gary Johnson. And Gary Johnson, you know, realized that he was not going to get elected just because there wasn't enough karmic energy to do so. So what they did is it ended up piggybacking on Donald Trump.
But the thing is like the left also has its planets, like if you like fuck like
it's like, okay, Mercury, I understand it's hard to
Mercury if you it's hard, but if you look at the path of Mercury's orbit, it hits. It's like you right above, like literally, like a fucking perpendicular. That's every punk house is at some point perpendicular to Mercury.
So
every punk house,
and that's why you're like seeing a rise of punk houses right now. But you're seeing like the dominating force be the media is in in Capricorn, and that's why you're seeing the rise of the conservative. And like I said, they've honed in that energy. But the mainstream,
we have Mercury.
They have Mercury, but the mainstream media has gone very liberal. So clearly, that means Libra. So, and they don't really have any like manifestation of this power other than subconscious Illuminati energy rays.
What about the Libertarians?
The Libertarians, see, they're not Libras. They're actually on the cusp. Of they're on the cusp. What comes before that? Scorpio.
No,
what? Okay, what comes? Scorpio becomes after Libra. So it had to be Virgo. It had to be Virgo because really what it is they're just like little boys who miss their mommy and wish they could like, you know, find some sort of like consensus with the feminine. So what they're doing is they're like really masking it under their masculine particles of oppression.
They're particles of oppression.
They're particles of oppression because, like, they've, like... continue, sorry.
Oh no, I was particles of oppression.
Particles of oppression, and like they're guided by Gary Johnson, who gave up their own liberty to get Trump in the White House. So really, they just don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and I feel like we need to like take astrology more seriously.
Yeah,
in
real.
in our praxis.
The signs are there, you just need to read them. And I hate to be like an elitist, like hierarchical Marxist astrologist, but I just think you need to have astrological leaders on your way to the revolution, because there's no way we're going to have a revolution unless we have a revolution with the stars.
We need to take the stars into account when we plan our marches and our meetings.
We need to take the stars into account when we what?
When we plan our marches and our meetings, so that the stars are in our favor and not against. Not for the alt-right, not for the other side.
Yeah, not for the other side.
I see these leftist groups marching, like, clearly, like, during Mercury retrograde.
You shouldn't be marching during a Mercury retrograde.
Like, they're ignorant. They don't know any better,
yeah,
but...
You should be marching during an Aquarius retrograde. You need to retrograde. But see, you want to get it during a metrograde, actually, which is another thing. That's actually what you call like when the subways are all going to be running properly, so it's easier for people to get to the action.
It's also the time when it's easier to best hop the turnstile.
It's not a coincidence that these have been, you know,
it's not a coincidence.
With data, they've been linked to times where the stars would literally line up with Manhattan Henge and shit, and that'd be easier to.
That's when the Spanish Civil War happened, but then that fell out of line, and then that's when that shit got fucked up.
During Manhattan Henge, like there's this constellation. Not a lot of people know about it, but it's in the shape of a subway train, and
holy shit,
Bill de Blasio face also gets lit up in the sky.
Yeah,
every once in a while.
Bill de Blasio manipulated the energy of the Law and Order actors that live in New York City, and that is how he got elected. And yes, it's very scary shit. But this has been Marxist astrology. Ba 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 ba. Marxist astrology for the revolution. So Gregory W. Hall officially thinks I'm like way too high for this.
That was interesting.
That was Marxist astrologist, and that's gonna play on this show every episode, stuff like that, every episode at 3:30 for the next season. All right, so let's get back to talking about Dear White People. Do you have any specific things about Dear White People, or should we play another Darren Williams clip to set us off?
Let's see what Darren got to say.
Yeah, I love what Darren has to say, even though I don't always agree. See, something I was thinking about. In the first one, they were like, oh, it's too emotional. See, like, I think we need to live in a more sensitive world. So can we have a non-emotional movement to start a non-sensitive world? Do you know a more sensitive world? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, do we need to have, like, a harsh revolution to get people to be more sensitive? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think every revolution is emotion. It's emotional. You know,
but, yeah, Darren doesn't like emotion. Darren likes clear, logical, factual arguments.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I think it's balance, because emotion is going to come into play, but you have to be logical about the moves that you're trying to make. You know, okay, what is the end game? Put it that way. What is going to be the outcome? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important thing is, you know, okay, what are the steps to get to the end game?
Yeah, I hear that. And people get caught up in the outcome. But that was actually something I didn't like about Dear White People. Because, like, you know, at the end when she's, like, at the protest.
Yeah.
And that guy is like, Sam. And you know you don't like Sam or whatever. But he was like that. So basically, I talked a little bit about this before you came. But Dear White People, you know, is about, like, this girl, Sam, who has a radio show called Dear White People, and it's she talks about, like, how white people need to wake up to their white privilege, and then all the white kids at some fraternity throw some party that's like a Dear Black People party, and they wear blackface, and they don't realize that it's not okay, and it starts this whole thing, and da 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 da. At the very end, there's this big protest, and one of the frat boys goes, "So Sam, after all of this, what has it done? What good has it done?" And she just, like, looks at him. It doesn't say anything. And that kind of, like, fucked with me a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, Sam is my least favorite character. I think she is the least woke. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things. And I don't know if the creators were being, I don't know if they were being facetious about it, but there was a lot of things that she did that, you know, or what was done to her that for someone who's supposed to be woke did not catch on. For example, I think, I could be wrong, please correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't, when she slept with Gabe, didn't he take a picture?
He took a picture and was like, I hate when Bae leaves.
Right.
It was super weird.
And that is an example. It's kind of like, how could she not see that he was not with her, but he's looking at her as an accessory. Like, he's looking at her as a fetish. Because some dudes, especially white dudes on the low key, be dating not just black chicks or chicks, you know, outside their race. They date them as a fetish. It's a fetish to them. Mm-hmm. It's like they treat them like an accessory. And it's kind of like, for someone who's woke, how does she not see that?
Yeah, and it was also like, it also showed like this element of his entitlement.
Yeah.
Because that's like another thing too. Like, I feel like a lot of like young white dudes are super entitled. Like in that scene, he had asked her like, oh, do you want to be, I want more than what we have. Like, I want you to be my girlfriend, River. And she kind of like looked at him and was like, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
And like, and then he just took that picture almost to like claim her, which is also like some weird like property shit. Which is what, happens like.
Oh, no, I agree with you. And that's a whole, that's a long topic. A lot, 90% of the shit that white dudes do is all because of entitlement.
Yeah.
That white entitlement, I can do what the fuck I want to do type shit. It's kind of like why, you know, I apologize for getting off topic, but it's kind of like the whole rape culture thing. You know
oh,
what I mean?
God.
It's all that shit is entitlement bullshit.
Yeah.
It's entitlement bullshit. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And also, when he goes to and what happens is one of the characters almost gets shot because Sam's white boyfriend Gabe, who we're talking about,
called the cops. Yeah.
And they're like way too nice about it, to be honest with you. Like, they got mad at him, but they end up forgiving him. And I was kind of like, what the fuck?
They should have whooped his ass, because my favorite scene in Dear White People was the scene where, I think his name was Reggie, when Gabe goes to Reggie. So what, are you going to, like, beat me up? And Reggie looked at him. He was like, why would you think I would beat you up? I'd knock you out for even thinking I would knock you out.
Yeah, I thought about that, too. He's like, the fact that was his first reaction was so weird.
Yeah, like, why would you think that I would lay hands on you?
That was so fucking weird.
Yeah.
I was like, when Gabe looked at him like that, at first I was expecting him to be like, oh, can we be friends? Mm-hmm. And then he was like, are you going to beat me up? I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, like, why would that be your first go-to thing to think that I would go to violence?
You're in a fucking, like, they're like, they might get a fucking school lounge about to watch a TV show, and he's going to beat you up because you, like, are there? Like,
yeah, it was weird as fuck.
That's weird as fuck, but what's also super entitled shit is when they had this whole meeting where this guy almost got fucking shot at a party because you fucking called the cops. He shows up. And, like, wants to talk to Sam. Like, let me talk to my property.
Yeah, it was
let
like, no.
Let me talk to my woman. Let me make this all about me right now.
Exactly. Well, how about you apologize for doing what you did to Reggie, first
you
off?
You apologize and show up and go, see, this is what you do. See, let me say something. Like, I might be wrong, but if you're showing up.
Break it down.
At a protest or an event or anything where there is a clear focus on, like, a group that is not fucking white people, because that is not what we're really protesting for ever. It's never about white people, okay? And I'm sorry if that bothers you, but not really. But what I'm saying is, when you show up to the, you say, what do you need help with? What can I help with? Or you look around like a fucking person who hasn't had to fucking work with a boss your entire life, and you try to figure out where you can actually help without fucking drawing focus. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I don't know. And this is something that drives me nuts on a general level in, like, activism, especially because, to be honest with you, a lot of activism is just a bunch of white people. It's a bunch of white
yeah,
people.
Yeah, y'all claim that, man. What's
what?
Yeah, y'all claim that. White people have claimed activism.
I mean, I don't organize with, like anarchist groups that are majority white anymore, because it's just like this is just like Spanish Civil War role play.
Yeah,
I don't know. Sorry, Spanish Civil War is like a big history thing that anarchists talk about, but it's like one of these things where it's like, I don't know. But my point is that a lot of activists, specifically white activists, will walk into spaces that are and they you know trash the place. They don't bother like cleaning up. They don't.
It's like, don't you understand this is a collective space where like no one is babysitting you? And I mean, that's a little irrelevant from Dear White People. That's my little fucking rant where it's like, but everybody does this in activist spaces. It's like really fucking like, it's like, could you fucking like take some actual accountability for yourself right now? And that's what Gabe did not do, which is what showed me he was not in touch with himself at all.
No.
Or in touch with his like, quote unquote, being aware of what's going on. It's like, He's got to make it all about his relationship the whole fucking time. It's offensive.
Absolutely. But there were certain things that, because I like the character Reggie, but there were certain things about Reggie I didn't like.
Tell me about it.
One of, and I don't know if I'm looking too deep into it, but whatever. We all know Reggie was, you know, he's pining after Sam. And if you watch the show, I don't remember her best friend's name. They didn't like even develop her. Right, because I can't even remember her name. But she had a thing for Reggie low-key.
Yeah. Not low-key, but...
But, yeah. But she had... You know what I mean? She had a thing for him. But Reggie kept going. He kept pining after Sam. And it really made me think it was the whole... He's going after Sam because she's light-skinned. It's the whole, I like the light-skinned girl with the blue eyes or the green eyes. Why you got this beautiful... dark sister right there that's down for you and is willing to be down for you, but you're completely ignoring her. And I kind of peeped that. I was like,
Is it like, it's like internalized, whatever.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's nothing wrong. Like, listen, there's nothing wrong with you dating anybody. It's light skin, white, whatever. I've been in tons of interracial relationships, whatever. But it's just that it's I kind of peeped that. I was just like, wait a minute. Why are you pining after a girl that clearly doesn't want you? And then when y'all did hook up, she regretted it. So it seemed like she was doing it out of sympathy because she felt bad for you because you were going through some things, because after he had the gun pulled out on him, because they were like, they were protesting and they were fighting against that very thing. But when something like that, the very thing that you're protesting for or speaking out against happens to you, is a very shocking thing. So he had went through that whole like thing when he was kind of like in shock or whatever. So I felt like she hooked up with him because she felt bad.
And she cares about him as a friend. And she also kind of like, it's also like this weird thing where she wanted to, you keep talking about how she had light skin privilege and stuff. Like she wanted that oppression for herself.
Like she wanted to be down because she felt like she never, it's kind of like, well, that's the way I can get in touch with my blackness. And it's like, okay, first off, because going back to what we said, that when she was like, oh, I'm dating him because I'm half white. It's like, first of all, we're all biracial. Let's put that aside, especially black people. We all biracial. The difference is your lineage to your white ancestors is much closer than others. But we're all biracial. So don't give me that, hey, I'm half white shit. Like, no, you're black, because when the cops
stop you. Which is also a really terrible reason to date someone based on race, just in general.
Well, yeah, that was the thing that he was upset me more. I was like, oh, you don't like him. You don't have anything in common with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, now you're treating him like a fetish. You're treating him like an accessory. So they, to me, both wrong in that way. They, you know what I mean? They were with each other both for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, but I feel like I see that from, like, a lot of people in general, like, trying to make other people's oppression theirs. Like, I see a lot of that.
Yeah.
In a, somebody's phone is ringing. No, no, it's okay. No, we can just make it funny. It's not serious. But, and so let's play the last Darren clip, which is actually kind of funny. Because so we're coming towards the end here. But again, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I've been here with Gregory W. Hall. We've been talking about Dear White People and pretty much whatever came to mind, because this was kind of, this was a fun show. Do you have anything you're trying to pitch right now?
Twitter
and all that
You can follow me on Twitter, Gregory Hall 5000. That's also my Instagram, Facebook, Gregory W. Hall. And I actually have a show I'm producing at The Pit, the People's Improv Theater. The People's Improv Theater.
So cool.
Which is going to be actually at The Pit Loft, which is on West 29th Street, 154 West 29th Street, this Saturday at 10:30. It's called Comedy Mayhem.
And what's this Saturday's date again?
May 27th, 10:30 sharp. Doors open, tickets are $7. That's pretty reasonable. Come through. I got a sick lineup of comics. Come through this Saturday, the 27th, at the Pit Loft.
Yeah, don't be late.
Don't be late. Don't be on SCP time.
Yeah. All right. So let's play Darren's last thing, which is actually really kind of like a really interesting one and relates a little bit about what we were talking about. But here we go.
But it has some of the sexiest black women I've ever seen in one cast. So like, that'll get you through 6 episodes at the very least. That'll get you through the 6. I did like the scene where the white boy was fantasizing about what he thinks black love looks like, because I never really think about it that way. Like, I'd never had an insecurity of, like, being white and dating a black girl and then thinking she might like black guys, right? And so, like, he had some pretty dope fantasies. Like, they were feeding him fruit and shit. I thought that was funny. But I just, in general, I just, Dear White People is not for me. I guess that's why it's called Dear White People.
Yeah, so that's that. I just thought that Darren.
He's like, nope, not for me. Nope.
Nope. But something that's like funny about that for me is like, I remember when I read that. This all started because Darren posted this article about this critique of Dear White People, and then you were like, "Oh, I want to be on What Would Save the World. Can I come on and talk about Dear White People?"
Yeah, so, that show sucks.
But I. But what I liked it
better than the movie. The movie was horrible. Oh my
really?
God.
Really? I never even saw the movie.
Don't watch it. It's worse.
I mean, I will say this though. I did enjoy I enjoyed parts of Dear White People. I did, but then I was discouraged when I realized that the alt-right is just not teachable.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like I feel like there's very few in between people right now, but like there's like people who are like kind of don't get it and are using it like to be as their like badge of honor, like we were talking about before, like people who kind of want to wear it as a costume. We were talking about that.
Yeah, it's like, I feel good about myself.
Yeah,
I
people who
want to
do that.
Today.
People who want to do that, and they already kind of like know, and they're maybe convertible. Like they could be like, but then I feel like it's just like so many fucking people who just can't deal with it. Like people who want to be like, but what about this? Mm-hmm. But what about black on black crime? But what about da, 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 da? What about affirmative action? Why can't I? Da, 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 white people are oppressed.
Yeah, and you know to that I say is shut the fuck up, because you know what?
Free speech.
Shut the
free
fuck.
Free speech. You know what I mean? It just goes on and on. Like, and they have like their the fucking thing for everything.
Especially when they start spitting that black on black crime. You don't know shit about it, so don't talk about anything you don't know.
And they don't know about it because if they committed the same crime, they just wouldn't get arrested for it.
Exactly.
that's the funny part about it. It's not funny. It's just fucked up. But, and Darren says, I just think if people don't respect you, you don't earn it by pleading to them. You get it by not giving a fuck and fucking with you and the people that fuck with you. That might be a typo, though.
I don't know what you're saying, Darren. What was that?
but he's saying like about like how Dear White People was sort of like pleading at white people to wake up.
Oh, but, yeah, that's I agree with Darren on that one. It's like, stop.
I guess just what I'm saying is the people who would really need Dear White People to wake up, like, are not watching that show. And if they do watch that show, they're going to say a bunch of, like, sarcastic bullshit.
They're not going to get it. And it's kind of, I don't know, I hate to say it, the show is useless at this point.
Really? The show is useless?
It's useless.
I mean, it did feel a little repetitive to me as someone who's been, like, paying attention to a lot of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, who's been reading and stuff. It felt very, like, it just felt like who's going to watch this? Who's not going to be rewarding themselves? And it'd be like, oh, I already get this, man.
Yeah. It's like, well, if this is not renewed for season 2, it wouldn't be missed.
If it what?
If it wasn't renewed, it would not be missed.
If it wasn't renewed, it would not be missed?
Yeah, because I don't think it was renewed for a season 2 yet.
You don't think it was renewed for a season 2 yet?
Yeah. I could be wrong, but
I don't know what they would even do with a season 2. What are they gonna do? Like, go over what's happened after all of this? They're gonna focus on their favorite interracial relationship. Like, what are they gonna do?
Exactly. And you know what? Too, it's so funny that going back to that with Sam and Gabe, that I kind of peeped it because I try not to be a conspiracy theorist or anything that shit. But and like I said, I have no problems with interracial. This is a guy, you're talking to a man who has dated tons of women outside of his race. But when an interracial relationship is forced for a hidden agenda, then I have an issue with it. Because I started noticing a lot of things in the media. You know what I mean? Even, you know, from the internet to television to movies, that they're really trying to push this, you know, the black and white relationship, but mostly a black woman and a white guy. They're really pushing that. And it's like
they're trying to do their undo Emmett Till shit or something.
Yeah, it's like there's some sort of hidden agenda with that that I'm peeping. I'm just like, something's not right about that. It's like they're trying to, you know, and it even goes back to the whole like stupid light skin versus dark skin bullshit. And it's like they're trying to eradicate. They're trying to find ways to eradicate us, and that's one way to eradicate a people.
And what do you think that is, like, that they don't portray, like, black men dating white women?
They do, but not as much. Not as much. That's, like, a big no-no.
That's the Emmett Till thing.
Yeah, that's a big no-no. I mean...
Yeah, that's so weird that that's still, like, not... That's still, like, people want to make that, like, a thing that's, like, forbidden and weird, like, on a subconscious level.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, it's no problem. We'll have a black woman with a white guy, but a black guy with a white girl? Like,
That's weird.
And then when it is a black guy and a white girl, they have to call out the fact that they're in an interracial relationship. Like, they just can't be in a relationship. They just can't just like each other.
Yeah, it can't just be, like, just, like, not something that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, because in real life, it's not discussed. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, but is it not discussed? I don't know. Like, I've been, I have the only experience, like...
I mean, it's discussed, obviously... if you haven't seen Get Out,
yeah, I've said
it's been discussed, but I mean, you know, I think a lot of black dudes now, I'm gonna think twice now.
I went to see that movie with Anthony Beckford. Actually, Anthony Beckford is somebody who's running for city council in Flatbush, District 45. He's super awesome. But I went to see it with him, and I went to see it with this girl Issa, and they looked at me and they were like, "Oh, you better run. You better run, Took. When this movie gets started, you better be scared." It was so funny.
Listen, that movie is an autobiography for a lot of those brothers out there. Okay, I've been in a lot of those situations where I've dated a white girl and she's brought me to her family, and I'm just like weirded out. You know, I'll get the dad coming over like, "Hey, you know I voted for Obama, right?"
Yeah, and my friend Issa said that she had a girlfriend whose parents said that, who'd be like, "We would have voted for him a third time." They actually said that, like, actually, and that was a line in Get Out.
Hey, you're looking like, okay. And now you're looking around like, "Get me the fuck out of here, please."
Like, why does the fuck? Yeah, it's so crazy.
I dated, just a quick story. I remember I dated.
We got like a minute though, by the way.
Okay, I dated a white girl, and long story short, she brought me over for dinner, and her father goes, and I'm making my plate. Her father goes, "I know you want some of that hot sauce," and I'm like,
"What the fuck?" That's so weird.
It was so weird. I wanted to smack the shit out of him for even saying that, like. Because, I mean, one, I do like hot sauce, but still the fact that he fucking, like, why would I put hot sauce on turkey? Like, come on.
Why would I put hot sauce on turkey? We need a t-shirt that says that. All right, so I want to thank you so much, Gregory W. Hall, for being here on What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you like Radio Free Brooklyn, you can donate to us on patreon.com/Radio Free Brooklyn because we're community freeform radio, and I can say fuck on the radio, and it's super, super awesome. And if you ever want to be on What Would Save the World, email me at took@radiofreebrooklyn.com, and you can come on this show, and we can argue, we can talk. You have a lot of fun. And yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @2KEDALOW, and we can argue about things on Twitter. And let's see, what can we talk about for the last couple seconds of this episode? We can talk about how we have Brooklyn Bandstand with Tom Tenney coming up right after this. And yeah, woo, Tom Tenney's right here. We're gonna be playing Brooklyn-based and NYC-based music. You know, sometimes from Connecticut and New Jersey, whatever. Sometimes in the tri-state area, but we try to keep it local.
All local today.
No fucking Jersey, armpit. No armpit. Because New Jersey's the armpit that always shaves its hair. You know, that's really fucked up, and that's not going to save the world. That's just going to get ingrown hairs, yo.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm from Jersey.
Yeah, well, you're cool. We like you. What was